morning, everyone. Rod Dyson's my name, one of the associate pastors here, and it's lovely to see you today and have the opportunity to talk about this film. How many of you have seen the film? Not many. I could get away with almost anything, can't I? So, I did walk some of the Camino last year, and it's partly because of that I want to talk about it, so I guess I can talk about it with some authenticity because of that experience. But much more than that, it seemed to me that this film is a great film to look at the start of the year. It's a film that gives you the opportunity to look at the year ahead of you and say, how is it that I want to live? What do I want to be different this year? Are there some things I want to be different this year? The Camino is a particular spiritual pilgrimage, but there is a sense that for every disciple of Christ, each year is a pilgrimage. Each year is a year following Jesus and seeing what he wants us to do. You'll have noticed in the film that Daniel, the son, asks his father to go on the Camino with him. He says this, "You don't choose a life, Dad, you live one." And I think what that's saying is, I puzzled over it for a while, I think it's saying we don't choose when we're born or even if we are born. But once we are, we have choices that we can make about our life and how we live it. We can just drift along, or we can be really intentional about the sort of life we'll lead and who we will become, both of those things. The father in the film, now in case you don't know, the father and the son in the film are actually father and son. And I think that adds something to the film. But the father, Thomas Avery, refuses his son's invitation to go on the walk on the way, the Camino. And sadly, the son dies on his very first day on the pilgrimage in the Pyrenees Mountains. And they, even when we were there, there were days when they were closed because of snow. But in choosing to pick up his son's pack and wear his son's shoes, he begins a transforming journey. And he takes the son's ashes, that's what was in the silver box, and to some degree walks off his grief as he walks the 800 kilometres of the Camino. Now, the other three characters in the film, the main characters, are all looking for something too. Sarah, you might have noticed. I mean, she goes hoping to give up smoking. And then there's Just, and you would have seen. He wants to lose a bit of what's weighing him down. And Jack, the Irishman, he's looking for a story because he wants to write a book. They're all ordinary people. They're like us, really. They have wounds. They have strengths. And though for them they don't go on a particularly Christian pilgrimage, yet just the process of going on it changes them, and all of them receive some peace and transformation on the journey. Now, as Christians, we come from a very different starting point, don't we? Because it is a Christian pilgrimage for us. We accept that we want to follow Jesus, and we accept that Jesus will lead us. Different starting point. And when you look at the scriptures, you find so many references to going on a journey. Now, we just heard about from Paul in Ephesians, where he talks about being filled with the very fullness of God. It's hard to even get our heads around that. Can the fullness of God really be in us? But that's the invitation, and that's what discipleship is about, being filled with the very fullness of God. It's a lifelong journey. In Philippians 3, you'll know Paul had many struggles in his life, and he talks there about the transformation that occurs in him when he became a follower of Christ. And he was an extraordinarily clever man and a very high status man in Judaism. And yet when he came to know Jesus, he said, a lot of those things that I really valued, I value no longer. In fact, he called them rubbish. He had a new set of values. And he says, I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to participate in his sufferings and then somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. That's what he writes. And then he says of himself, not that I've already obtained this, not that I've already attained that goal, but I press on. That's the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward, I press on. So I think one of the questions that comes from this film for me is, do you want to press on in 2019? Do you want to be just the same? Or do you want to press on and follow Jesus Christ? Are you open to the Holy Spirit working deeply in you, a costly transformation as it was for Paul? But are you open to that this year, to walk the way of Jesus? Paul was absolutely certain that this could happen, and he says, I am confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And that promises us for us too. So what I want to do today is ask four questions that arise for me out of the passages of Scripture, but also from this film. Four questions that you can answer. They're not for me to answer, they're for you to answer. First question, what will you leave behind as you begin this year? We can't just keep adding things to our lives as individuals. And as a church, we can't just keep doing more and more. To do something new, we have to leave something behind. Now, when I walked the Camino, I couldn't take everything. I didn't want to either because it'd be too heavy. I had a 40-litre pack. That's what this is. This is what 40 litres look like. And I have to say it wasn't full either, so I probably only carried or filled up 30 litres. It's fairly small, so I lived out of that for 18 days. And I'm sure it's still more than most people in the world have. Now, there are certainly some things in here, and they're not all in here, I need to tell you about. There's certainly some things in here that I really needed. One of those is a sleeping bag, and it wasn't like this. I did really roll it up when I was on the Camino, but this is how you store them. And I needed that because in the second week particularly, it was really cold and wet. I needed a good down sleeping bag. But I imagine in our lives, all of our lives, we're carrying some things that are weighing us down that we just don't need, that will stop us from walking the way of Jesus this year. And just to be silly, of course, I put this in there, you know, the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. There's some wonderful stuff in there. No, seriously, there is. And certainly it's an abridged version, so if you're going to take any version on the Camino, you might as well take an abridged one. But seriously, I didn't need it, did I? It just would have weighed me down, so I didn't take it. I had to make a lot of choices about what I'd leave behind. And by making those choices, I was able to complete the 350 Ks that I chose to walk. But the question is for you, what will you leave behind? What are the things in your life that are just weighing you down? And you know what they are, because when you think about them, you can feel the weight of them, can't you? What are those things that you want to let go of? There'll be something in all of our lives. A few things that come to mind immediately are regrets. So think about last year or the years before. What didn't you do that you wish you had? And what did you do that you wish you hadn't? Now, some of those things you'll be able to put right by doing something now or saying sorry to someone or whatever. But in the end, you can't change what happened last year or the year before. Let them go in the power of the Holy Spirit and feel your body straighten. Secondly, what hurts are you holding on to? And I imagine that most of us would have some of those as well. There'll be something that someone's done to you that weighs you down, or you feel angry about it or annoyed. Now, forgiveness sets us free from those things. Now, I'm not suggesting that you continue to live in unsafe places or where you're being abused or anything like that, but I am saying forgiveness sets us free. If you need to move because you're in an unsafe place, well, do that. But the next thing is to forgive and be free and move on. And the third thing I just thought of this morning was here on this Australia Day weekend, are there attitudes that you have that are not helpful? Are there attitudes that are not Christian? Are there things that you think about Indigenous people that are not how God sees them? For example, you'll know what your attitudes are. Ask the Spirit to show you whether they're Christian ones or not. So, second, Second thing, what will you pay attention to in 2019? It's about priorities. Allow the Holy Spirit to say, this is what I want you to do. Don't do that. And just do the things that God leads us in. On the Camino, the focus of some people is just to finish it. And we saw some of those. There's actually some people that run it. 800 Ks. There are others that cycle it. And you'd know that if you're cycling quite quickly, you don't see the same things that you do when you walk. What will you pay attention to? You see, if you just race through life, you miss the stuff on the way. On the Camino, you might miss a beautiful view because you're charging up a hill and you're not even looking back to see what's behind. Or one day, these magnificent, I imagine, highly poisonous mushrooms, bright red with white spots. You'd miss it if you didn't pay attention. Or you might miss an ancient Roman ruin. You might miss seeing the people you're walking with. What are you going to pay attention to this year? Now, there's some obvious ones. I think family and friends. Set times to invest in them. And I'm not talking about casual conversation here. I'm talking about praying for them, listening to them, valuing what they value, seeking the presence of God in your relationships. And what about God? Might this be a year when you really do set aside time to pray, to listen to God, to read the scriptures, to serve? Did you know that 15 people have signed up for interns this year? I know there's some, I saw Andy over here, I think. It's only two? 15 anyway. The youngest is around 17 and the oldest is 73. So if you're 73 or under, you got no excuse next year. In fact, if you're older than that, you've got no excuse either. We invite you to come along. One of the things I'm going to ask them to do is read the whole Bible this year, to invest in that. So as disciples, what will your priorities be this year? I read a book while I was on the Camino, and no, I didn't take a hard copy. It was on my phone. It's called Sinning Across Spain. And now that title may lead you in the wrong direction. Maybe you should read it, by Ailsa Piper. But she says this: cherish every heartbeat, because after all, it is this life, this one right now, that is the one to cherish, to relish, and to live well, and to live with integrity. She's saying to us, as a non-Christian person, this year, this life, take care of it and live it according to what Jesus wants you to do. This is the one that matters, not the one in 20 years' time or the one in the past. Do it now. So what will you leave behind and what will you pay attention to? Third point, who will you journey with? You've only got so much time. Who are you going to spend it with this year? My daughter, who is half my age, certainly pushed me to my physical limit on a number of days. And one of the things I depended on was these. I don't know if you've tried using them, but they didn't work for me to start with. But then I got the hang of them. And they say they take 20% of the weight off your feet and joints. Every day I ended up with sore feet. But these saved me on so many days. And the days when you climb up, the days when you go down, and the times when you walk on really hard surfaces, these helped me to finish the journey. There was also a group of Spaniards. So we didn't have language in common. But for some reason, they adopted me. Now, they would often catch up to us 4 or 5 hours into the walk, which tells you something about my daughter as well and how early we got going and how fast we walked. But anyway, they would catch up after 4 to 5 hours. And as they went past me, they'd just pat me on the shoulder and say, amigo, my friend. And maybe because of how I looked, you can do it. Anyway, so my first suggestion to you is, who's going to sustain you on your journey this year? Who are the people you're going to choose that are going to get you through this year and get you through this year well? What small group are you in? Who are the encouragers in your life? Who are the ones that are going to hold you accountable for your faith? Who will come to you and say, I've noticed you've changed. What's happened? You seem more angry now, or you seem more anxious now. Who are the ones holding you accountable for your faith? Remember, Paul said, I will live out my salvation with fear and trembling. You see, it is no small thing to live as a disciple. We need all the help we can get. A couple of more questions. Who will be the three or four people that you'll commit to pray for this year with the hope that they'll come to know Jesus or that their lives will be transformed and healed in some way? Who will you choose to bless this year? And I'm not here talking about the people you like. Who are the ones you don't like, who have hurt you, who annoy you at work, that you'll choose to bless this year? Let the Spirit lead you in that. You may also want to let go of some people that are really not helpful to you. If you've got some people in your lives where all they do is criticise and put you down, maybe you need to not walk with them because they are dragging you down. That's a tough choice, but maybe you need to make it. So what will you leave behind? What will you pay attention to, and who will you take the journey with? Lastly, what will you do to transform the world? You see, in Western Christianity, there's often such a strong focus on personal salvation that we forget that Jesus died for the world. He didn't just die for us, he died for the world. And the incarnation of Jesus, the coming of Jesus to earth as a human being, tells you that human life matters, that this life matters, not just the life to come after the second coming. This life matters. And Jesus' hope is that the kingdom of God will be found here on earth. Now, we just had a week at Point Turton, which was marvellous, and I caught up with a man I'd known years ago on the Leaders of Christian Churches Committee, and he posted a devotion on Facebook, and it's by a Franciscan, a priest called Richard Raw. Now, Franciscan meaning followers of Francis of Assisi, his order in the Catholic Church. He says this, the devotion said this, Christians have often preached a gospel largely comprised of words, attitudes, and inner salvation experiences. So they say they're saved or they're born again, and there's scriptural warrant for that. But yet, how do we know? Are they actually following Jesus? Do they love the poor? Are they free from their ego? Are they patient in the face of persecution? See, it's not enough to talk about new ideas. They've got to be lived out. There's a woman called Dorothy Day says, and she's very blunt in some of the things she says, nothing is going to change until we stop accepting this dirty, rotten system in which we live. So to be a disciple of Christ is to transform the world as well, to transform the systems of the world so that they're more like the kingdom of God. Raw says, even today many Christians keep Jesus on a seeming pedestal, worshipping a caricature on a cross or a bumper sticker slogan while avoiding what Jesus said and did. We keep saying we love Jesus, but it's more as a God figure than someone to imitate. To follow Jesus is to be like Jesus. It means we do care for the poor and the outcast. We do care for the sick and sorrowing. We do care for the foreigner. We even sacrifice some of our standard of living so that other people can simply live. We do include the lonely. We oppose systems that make some richer at the expense of others. We look after the world that Jesus has given us. These things are foundational to being disciples of Christ. Martin of Tours was a bishop of Tours in AD 371. One night when he was riding home on his horse, he passed a beggar. He dismounted, tore his robe in half, gave half to the beggar, and kept the other half himself. That night, he had a dream in which he saw Jesus wearing that robe that he had torn in two. And when asked where it came from, Jesus said, my servant Martin gave this to me. It's Matthew 25, isn't it? Insofar as you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. When I got back from Spain, my wife Liz had read that book, sinning across Spain, and she'd written a later edition because Ailsa's husband died. And they had this wonderful relationship. And when he died, she was really crushed, if you like, paralysed. But she worked through that and she wrote this. Walking is my great teacher. It can be stern, but it's rarely cruel. I learned something that never occurred to me on my earlier walks before he died. The biggest sin I could commit would be to close myself off from life. Now, whether I'm pushing up a hill or diving in the deep, I want to remain open to the great offering that life is. This is my dedication. You see, your life is one of the most precious things that you have. How are you going to steward it? How are you going to look after it? How are you going to live it in a way that uses all God's given you for the glory of God? That's your question this year. Will you let go of some things? Will you choose to pay attention to certain other ones? Will you choose who you journey with? And will you transform the world for the sake of Christ? Let me pray with you. Gracious God, how wonderful you are. You have given us so much and we rejoice in that. We celebrate knowing you. And yet we hear this deep call, Jesus. We look around at a broken world. Help us to be agents of transformation, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the kingdom of God will be seen everywhere to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name.